Good af- well, good lunchtime, I guess. I was going to say good afternoon, but it's not quite there. You know, I'd like to call the Joint Transportation Committee to order. Time is 12:08 p.m., February 20th, 2018. Senate members today are Senator McKinnon, Senator Egan, Senator Wilson, myself, Stedman. You want to rattle off your...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our members today are Representative Newman, Representative Klayman, Representative Sullivan-Leonard, Co-Chair Stutz, Co-Chair Wool, and we have our alternate, Representative Eastman, and Representative Kopp. I'm sorry. He was on the other side.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. I apologize for being late. I was stuck in my office on other matter and should have been paying a little more attention here. Apologize for that. But today on the agenda, we've got a new manager of the Ted Stevens International Airport, better known as Anchorage Airport. If he could come forward, please. Jim Sesniak? Yes, if you could pull up a chair, please introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and you have a presentation you want to talk about the Anchorage Airport.
Correct, yes. So my name is Jim Sesniak. I'm the airport manager for the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport. And my presentation slides are on this. So with your approval, I'm ready to give my presentation.
Yes.
Okay. So just kind of give you, again, thank you for inviting me here to speak to you guys. I want to give you guys an update on what's happening with the current system, and then also give you kind of some plans that we're looking at for the future. Hopefully this will be useful information for you guys as you consider, how the state works in the transportation system. So just some fast facts and figures for Ted Stevens. We are the number two rated air cargo airport in the world. I'm sorry, in North America, and number six in the world. So in the U.S., we're only behind Memphis, essentially. FedEx's Memphis hub, and then it goes Anchorage. We handle approximately 5 million passengers per year that will walk through the airport. And it's an important job generator for the Anchorage region and for the state itself. In Anchorage specific, we represent 1 in 10 jobs is based at the airport. It's over 9,000 direct jobs at the airport and 6,000 indirect jobs at the airport. And then that payroll essentially is $1 billion annually. The airport system at Ted Stevens, we are a self-sustaining enterprise, so we essentially absorb no general fund revenues. All the airport revenue that is generated at the airport has to stay at the airport, though, because of our grant assurances. But we do provide over $2 million annually to the municipality of Anchorage for property taxes, basically for the leases at the airport. So covering our markets that we're serving from a passenger perspective, we are serving right now 18 nonstop interstate destinations. Our top destinations in order are Seattle, Los Angeles, Portland, Phoenix, and Minneapolis. Internationally, we're getting nonstop service to Vancouver via Air Canada, and then Reykjavik via Icelandic Air. Condor provides a service through Frankfurt International, and Yakutia provides a service to Petropavlovsk in Russia. One of the things that you'll notice on this slide is there's kind of a little bit of a picture of the Icelandic Air model right there. So from when Alaskans are trying to go direct into Europe, Iceland Air offers the ability to essentially go to Reykjavik, and then from Reykjavik they can distribute us, our people, into Europe. Same thing happens with Condor. They go directly into Frankfurt. That's one of the big hub airports internationally, so they can distribute people through the Frankfurt airport. And then as an airport manager, one of the things that I look at on the next slide is to make sure that we have service to meet the needs of the people traveling to and from Alaska. And the thing that I look at when I analyze an airport is can you get to the top 50 metropolitan areas in the United States? Ideally, you'd like to have direct, but if you don't have direct, to have it at least one-stop service. So I can confidently say that, yes, you can get to all top 50 via one-stop service from Anchorage. And that's, again, through our partners at Alaska Airlines, United Airlines, and Delta. So Alaska Airlines is going to bring you primarily through Seattle. United's going to bring you through Denver or Chicago to get to places, and then Delta is going to be, again, Salt Lake City, Seattle, or Atlanta, to be able to go throughout the United States.
We're going to have a brief at ease. Come back on the record. Go ahead and continue, please.
Okay. So again, on this network, though, also what we're looking for, which is a good benefit actually for Alaska, is we want to do or have available multiple hub options, essentially, to make that one-stop service. So we're blessed to essentially have the ability to go through Seattle, but then we also have direct service to Atlanta, LAX, O'Hare, DFW in Dallas, the Denver airport, and San Francisco airports. Those are big hub airports. So that allows us actually to send our people essentially out into the lower 48 and internationally through those gateways, and then also obviously to bring the tourists in through those gateways into Alaska. So, you know, again, as an airport manager, I'm always considering what that looks like as far as making sure that we have a robust network, which we do. On the interstate flights, or interstate flights, we're served primarily by three carriers. So Alaska Airlines provides service from Anchorage to a number of locations in Alaska. And then we have our partners with Raven Air and Penn Air. So Raven Air, you can see their map network is kind of all over the west side and north of the state. And then you've got to the southwest, Penn Air is kind of, that's where their concentration is. So we can service the communities throughout the state. One of the things that Alaska or Ted Stevens Airport is known for is we are actually number three in the country for revenue per passenger that we get through there. We have a very successful concessions program there, and we also want to make sure that we represent the state. So you'll see some of our concessions that we have in the airport are not only Anchorage-based, but we also have some outside. So, you know, Humpy's is an Anchorage facility, but the Silver Gulch is a Fairbanks area concession. And then we also have the Norton Sound seafood concession, which represents the Norton Sound area. For Alaska businesses this year, or last year in 2017, we generated $13.1 million in gross sales based on that. Concessions revenue usually totals about 10% of the revenue that actually comes into the airport.
Representative Newman, you had a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Three or four years ago, the Legislative Budget and Audit did a review of Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport to see if the retail space was used adequately and appropriately. There was a review done and suggestions on how to make that more profitable for the state. Can you give us an update on those? Were those followed through?
I'm not aware of that, but my background essentially is a terminal planner. So when we discuss, I have a slide up there about the future, and absolutely adding more concession space is going to be one of my programs.
One more question.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Bill Sheffield Railroad Terminal that sits in the middle of the Anchorage Ted Stevens International Airport. Could you talk about that concession, and do they pay concession fees to the airport, and are they equitable and even with other spaces that are leased?
I'm not familiar with the specifics on that lease, so I can return through the chair some information to you, and then that hopefully
That'll
will answer
fine.
That question.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, so another great thing that we have at the at Ted Stevens Airport is not only from a passenger's perspective, we do very well with our concessions and the actual overall passenger experience, because we were just just the other day were noted as one of the top 10 airports in the United States by a travel, one of the more prominent travel blogs. You know, we were number 7, so that's always good when your customers are responding back that they like what you are offering. But importantly, we also have a diversified air cargo base. So obviously Anchorage International Airport is one of the world's premier cargo hubs, but it's also important because of the fact that it's diversified. So our actually largest carrier there is Cathay Pacific, but we're also international cargo hubs for FedEx, UPS, Korean Air, Nippon, China Airlines, Polar Air Cargo, and Atlas. And again, we're focused on our customers. That includes the passengers and the cargo carriers. We want to make sure that we have efficient infrastructure to allow them to operate their businesses efficiently. And that's why for the past 5 years we've been named a North American Cargo Airport of the Year by the Cargo Association for air cargo carriers. But yeah, and we also were, again, over 20 air cargo airport or airlines actually use the airport. And our air cargo landings were up 4.6% last year.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can have this answered later, but in looking at this pie chart, I'm wondering if we're evaluating whether they're changing out their fleet and can overfly Alaska. Are we looking at that so that we anticipate any changes to potential revenue coming in?
Airlines, in my discussions with them, do have the ability to overfly the airport if they so desire. But again, by our cost structure, by keeping it low and keeping our infrastructure efficient, there's really not much of that happening right now. There was a thought basically that the 747-800, the new version of that, and the 777 freighter were essentially going to make overflying Anchorage easy to do. Although it is possible, I look out my window every day and I see plenty of them here, so they are actually still stopping in Anchorage. And we continue to, again, work with the partners to make sure that we keep our rates and fees low in order to continue to attract that business.
I'd like to notice that Representative Drummond is here.
Okay, so for the international cargo, the next slide essentially has the what we want to call our global reach. So we are the gateway between North America and Asia. So we get to all major Chinese and Asian destinations in South Korea and Japan also. And we're within 9.5 hours flight time to 95% of the industrialized world. It also, because of the Ted Stevens Act, we were allowed the ability to do cargo transfer at the Ted Stevens Airport. So that allows essentially airlines to come essentially and land at Anchorage and then take their pallets off and kind of sort them to send them to different destinations throughout the lower 48. So that's an advantage that Ted Stevens has that most other airports don't. And it is, again, helps to build our cargo market.
Let the record reflect that Senator Bishop that showed up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so not only am I responsible for the number 2 cargo airport in North America, but I also have the world's busiest seaplane base. So Lake Hood, which is directly adjacent to the airport, economic impact of $42 million per year with a $25 million direct impact and a $17 million indirect impact and about $14 million in labor income, essentially wages for the people that are working there. Another thing that's important about it is it's obviously a gateway to most of other Alaska. So we've got 23,000 plus non-Alaskan tourists essentially use Lake Hood to get out into the country and experience Alaska. So now let's talk about
it. Please hold it for the next slide. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. So Lake Hood is part of the Anchorage International Airport area?
Yes. Yeah, so we kind of we manage the Lake Hood airport.
Hmm. So. Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll get into kind of some future development that we're looking at the airport. So in the near term, we are currently working to construct a new Alaska Airlines $40 million hangar that's going to have the room to essentially hold 2 Boeing 737 aircraft, which is nice because of the fact that it's a nice new facility on the airport, but it also is going to retain some high-paid airplane or airframe and power plant mechanics that will be employed at that facility. So it's a nice upgrade to the economy around the Anchorage area. In addition, this summer and into next summer, we're going to be unveiling about $100 million of new construction that's going to happen at the airport. It's primarily driven by a runway resurfacing project and then also some taxiway and gate area construction projects. This spring, we are working to bring an on-airport hotel. So one of the things, again, Ted Stevens is known for customer service, and we want to continue to step up the game there. So we have a lot of people that come in from rural Alaska that end up getting into Anchorage at times when their flights don't connect. So being able to offer them an on-airport hotel where they can just go over, catch some sleep until they catch their next flight. Also because of the fact that we're a base for a lot of international air cargo airplanes, it's going to allow us to, for their crews, so their crew would be able to come off their airplane, essentially go right to the hotel and sleep. And then we're excited because of the fact that the hotel is going to offer a new customer pool for us, so they'll be able to come over to the airport and use our concessions.
Senator Newman? And then we'll go up the come up the table after he's done.
Representative Newman.
Or excuse me, Representative Newman.
He's not a senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On this airport hotel, who's going to own that? Is it the state owned or is it private? And then also with these other new hangars, are they owned by Alaska Airlines or is they an entity that's owned by the airport and leased back and the financing? I mean, there's a lot of money being spent here. And I just want to know who's owning all this stuff.
So, again, this will be third-party. So Alaska Airlines will be building their hangar. The hotel, the way it will work, it will be a third-party developer that will essentially come in and develop the hotel, lease the land, and they will pick a flag carrier. So they're essentially a franchisee. So it will be a hotel developer, and then he might be associated with Hilton, Marriott, Sheraton, whoever. And they'll come in, and they will actually build, construct, and run the hotel. The airport's just essentially a landlord. So.
Absolutely.
The state won't own it.
That was my question.
Okay.
I have a question.
Rep. Grumman's ahead of you.
I do have a
she
question.
She corked you. Yeah. Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The new hangar is for Alaska Airlines, is that already under construction?
It is.
Is that on the south side as you approach the airport?
Yes.
Okay. That obvious, the structure is pretty obvious.
Yes.
Okay.
Set to be completed probably third quarter of this year.
Okay. And another question on the hotel?
A follow-up and then we'll go to report.
Thank you. On the hotel, it's on airport property, but it's in the city of Anchorage. Will they be paying municipal bed tax?
Yes.
To the city of Anchorage?
Yeah, so it'd be you'd have bed tax and real estate, or property tax, essentially.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The maintenance hangar, will that increase the ability, the scope of maintenance that Alaska Airlines can do? I don't know what they're limited to now in their current maintenance facility, but would this expand that and maybe they can do more different kinds of annual checks, or if an airplane needs maintenance in Anchorage, they don't have to bring another one up from Seattle?
Correct, yes. So this will be a more robust facility than what they have existing. I mean, they're designing it to meet all their needs essentially at the airport because they're building it right now.
Thank you. Yes.
Go ahead.
The location of that hangar is south side of International Airport Boulevard.
Yeah,
but it's not on that South Airport Park.
Not in the park, no. It's south of the. It's essentially when you leave the terminal core. Essentially, you'll see it right on the right over there on International Airport Boulevard.
And there's more chatty reps have more questions. Go ahead, Scott.
Thank you, good senator. This looks like between maybe 500 and 700 full-time jobs in Anchorage. These projects right here. What is your estimate?
So on the construction project right now, we are in the process of getting that estimate, but yes, it's going to be in that neighborhood. But yeah, it's any kind of major construction project on a runway, it takes a lot of people to do that. We're looking at, again, $100 million plus, so you're in the neighborhood. I don't have the firm number yet. We're working with the engineering people that are developing the specs to get the kind of the confirmed number, but yeah, you're in that neighborhood.
Brett Stoops, you're the only one left. Do you have a question?
I'll pass. Thank you.
We'd like to get some of that bread spread clear to Kodiak. She just hasn't figured out how to get her there yet. But There's a question on this side of the table?
Just a follow-up on the jobs. It appears for the new hangar there would be that they're obviously moving their equipment maintenance division up here then to do that, and the same thing with the maintenance repair overhaul facility. So I was mainly looking at the long-term jobs with these projects locating here. So whatever your response is to that, and a follow-up to that would be, has the airport determined what route has the greatest backhaul need for cargo? Thinking of going back to Asia, is there something we can offer like frozen seafood storage at the airport that could help fill those planes going back?
So what we're doing right now is yes, so the airplanes essentially coming from Asia to the United States are essentially full. Airplanes going from the United States back to Asia are mostly full. So we are working, again, with a lot of the Alaska Seafood Association people to try and fill those airplanes with seafood going direct into Asia. And then, again, we are looking at supportive facilities, what I'm going to call supportive development. So if you look at the operations of the airport, we have the ability to put things on airplanes essentially and get them there quickly. So when I talk about supportive development, I'm looking at, you know, we're going to look at some warehouse facilities essentially to house parts here, to be able to maybe, you know, if you have a distribution facilities all throughout Asia, why not locate them here? And then I've got airplanes that go throughout Asia, so then that way you don't have to have six facilities in Asia. You can have one here, and then we've got multiple airplanes. So that's one of the supportive developments that we'd kind of be looking to do. Again, new concessions, that's one of the things that is a terminal planner. Essentially, I walked through the terminal. We're going to be looking at some new concessions for the airport. And, again, we'll have a lot of Alaska focus on those. And then the airport is looking to do the International Cargo Associations, IATA is their nickname. They offer a certification program to be able to handle pharmaceuticals through the air cargo a logistics change. So the airport is actually in the process of getting and working with the vendors at the airport to get that certified. So then that way we might be able to increase our pharmaceutical flow through the airport. It's particularly important because of the fact that there's a lot of medical trials that essentially happen in Asia, so they need a chain of custody for the materials that go through the airport. So being able to get that certification will be important for us to help kind of develop more flow through the airport. Again, planning for the future, I'm again also looking at a maintenance repair overhaul facility. We have a large collection of Boeing 747s and 777s that fly through the airport. The Boeing 747 was a passenger plane, but it is now being phased out, and it's going to be strictly cargo. So the people who are going to continue to run those will be coming through Anchorage. So being able to look at a facility where we can overhaul and maintain those. We're also partnering with the University of Alaska Anchorage. They have a airframe and power plant mechanics program there to train people for this kind of work. And then also we have a significant military presence with people who are essentially retiring or transferring out of the military that have these kind of backgrounds that these companies would need this workforce. So we were trying to make sure that, again, for the people we train at the UAA, they have jobs when they get out, and for the military, when they have when they essentially transition out of the military, they also have jobs and can stay in the area. Again, new cargo development would be along the same line, where we're essentially looking for the ability to house new cargo development, where we would have extra aircraft parking positions and then also some warehousing.
Senator Bishop, before we go to the next slide.
Thank you. I'd just like you to include in the future, if you would, and I know you didn't do this on purpose, but UAF has an airframe power plant program that's located on the east ramp at the International Airport, and they have a good product there, too.
I will be getting up to Fairbanks in the near future, and they will be on my list to go visit those folks. Okay, so just to talk about the future in the air cargo, what we're seeing right now is there's a huge growth in e-commerce. So China is obviously the largest e-commerce market. And their market's large, and it's increasing 20% per year. So, again, a lot of the stuff that flies through the airport is electronics and things that are delivered for e-commerce purchases. In the U.S., it's no slouch either. 17% of all retail sales by 2020 are estimated to be e-commerce sales. And again, 13% growth. Anytime you can get 13% growth, that's a pretty good market to be in also. So we anticipate continued cargo strength. And then the two slides on the right are essentially pulled from the Boeing aviation or their air cargo forecast. So what we're seeing there is, and I know it might be a little hard to read, but it's essentially the fleet of large aircraft that use Ted Stevens right now to do air cargo is set to increase by 50% over the next 20 years. So that's an encouraging stat from Boeing. That essentially means that there's going to be more aircraft and more demand on the e-commerce side, and a lot of those airplanes are going to be produced, and they'll be flying through Ted Stevens International Airport.
Yes, Sullivan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What an incredible forecast for the international airport. And as you look at growth in Anchorage, are you looking maybe to come to Matsu to help with that expansion?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by. I mean, I was up in Matsu this weekend. It was beautiful, but the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport is going to be where the action is. But you know, again, there's a lot of our employees essentially at the airport actually live up in the Matsu Valley, so it is an option essentially where you're going to have the growth of Ted Stevens will reach into the valley up there.
Follow up. Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was just thinking with the expansion of your airport in the sense of real estate, I just thought, come on over, come across, come to the valley.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the next slide, what we were going to do, I want to talk to you about is again, our air service development. So, again, we're going to continue to work on more nonstop destinations to the lower 48 to be able to get, you know, the nonstop to Washington, D.C., or the nonstop to, you know, a full year round to New York or you know, Dallas, you know, but again, we'll continue to work on that. But one of the things, the areas where we're going to be concentrating on is trying to develop the air service from Asia. What we want to do is we looked at Chinese tourists, essentially. And the Chinese tourists, they have their top 10 destinations in the United States. Five of them are ecotourism, and five of them are going to visit cities. So ecotourism, we're talking Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, those kind of places. Well, what we want to pitch is essentially Alaska is an ecotourism destination. We have in Alaska 8 U.S. National parks. Only California has more, which is 9. So we are, you know, have more than enough stuff that is beautiful to come up here and look at. And then 3 of those are UNESCO sites. So that's, again, when you're looking at national parks, when you can get that UNESCO certification on that, it just basically is a stamp of quality that shows that that's a really good location for ecotourism. Glacier Bay, again, it's wonderful. They got over 1,000 glaciers in there. So the governor a couple weeks ago hosted a Chinese trade delegation that came through, and they had a member there from the Sichuan province. And he was all excited when I showed him this slide about how we've got 1,000 glaciers in Glacier Bay National Park. And he's like, that's great. In my province, we have one glacier, and that one glacier gets 200,000 visitors per year. So that's the kind of stuff that we're trying to educate that market on, to be able to say that you can come up here and experience all these the beautiful nature that Alaska has to offer. Again, we do see some robust charter operations, particularly for Fairbanks in the winter for Northern Lights viewing. So you'll get some Asian charters that come up into Fairbanks. That's, you know, winter kind of stuff. But what we're trying to do is, again, leverage those to be able to turn that into a kind of year-round service to be able to come into Anchorage and come into Fairbanks to be able to feed that Asian passenger market. Another important thing just to know about, too, is while we're looking that way is a lot of the new planes that Boeing are producing, now actually the smaller ones can get here. So before, what we'd have to do is you'd have to be fighting with the airlines to try and have them allocate a large aircraft to be able to come into Alaska. But now with these new, more efficient, smaller aircraft, that's something from a market size that we can make a case to say you can serve Japan and northern China directly into Anchorage via the new smaller aircraft. So again, it changes the kind of the math on those flights, so that could be a little more expensive, I mean, more attractive.
On the issue of going into Glacier Bay, we could give each Chinese visitor a sea otter to take home and enhance their visitation here. We'd be willing to do that.
Pets.
So the other thing that we're looking for, again, is the slide on the bottom essentially has the Icelandic air model, and that's a model that we're going to try and push for the Asian destination. So if you look at Reykjavik and Anchorage on the globe, they're essentially in the same spot. And right now what Icelandic Air does is it acts as a bridge between North America and Europe. And the Icelandic people have figured it out, and what they offer is the ability to essentially fly from the United States or Europe. You stop in Reykjavik, but they actually give you the ability to get off the plane and go tour Iceland for up to 7 days and then get back on the plane and continue your vacation. So if we look at the next slide, that's one of the strategies that we're trying to look at is can we give them the Asian tourist who really likes to go to the top five of our cities and top five of our ecotourism the ability to essentially come to Alaska, stop here for a couple days, and then go on to their major city. So the example, obviously, I've got the beautiful picture of come up here and visit our glaciers, but then you can stay here for 5 or 7 days, and then after that you can continue on down into Chicago, and then they can explore Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, whatever the U.S. city that they want to choose to do as a city vacation, and then they'd be able to continue back to Asia. So we want to essentially get them to come land here, spend time and money in Alaska, and then continue on their merry way.
Rep. Kopp, you have a question?
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Sesniak, thank you. I think another marketing point you could advertise is coming through customs into Anchorage is exponentially easier to do that port of entry into the United States than to do it in L.A., where it can take many, many hours. I know just from direct flights coming back from Korea, it's Anchorage Customs is like a breeze.
That is actually part of our program because of the fact that the way that I look at things as an airport person is the message is that, yes, you can come here, you can clear customs, you can go see the beautiful things, but the thing is that going into the lower 48, those gateways are essentially full. I'm from Chicago. We had 21 gates at the international terminal that actually only worked out to usually about 18 usable because of the large planes, and they're full. So you would have the ability, as if you were an Asian carrier that was interested in serving more markets or wanted to increase your Chicago capacity, you might not be able to do it. But what I'd like to essentially, what we're offering is we'd love you to fly here, let your people off the airplane, they can go visit, and then we can put them onto Alaska Airlines, and then they can feed them into the lower 48. So they can get that extra lift, essentially, capacity to a congested gateway because they'd be able to clear customs here and then be able to go domestically, essentially, into the lower 48.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you for the presentation. What's the future of the North Terminal? I didn't see that through your presentation or slide to here.
So again, the future of the North Terminal ultimately is it's a very nice facility that's ready to go. It's a little aged. It's a 1960s vintage, but it's one of those. It's a facility that we're actively shopping, and I'm working with my staff right now to be able to essentially put in a system right now where we'd be able to accept passengers on a regular basis. We are using it currently for charter aircraft operations and irregular operations, medical diverts and stuff like that. But we would like to be able to use it to fill, if we have airlines attracted to coming up here for additional service during the Red Eye Bank in the summertime, being able to offer that facility. And then also, again, for an international perspective, we can get your airplane in here, clear customs in half hour to an hour, and you can, you know, be into Alaska and then, or just transfer over to the terminal. So it's an attractive facility. It's nice to have that capacity so that when we get new airlines, we have a place exactly to stick them. The thing that we have to work with on that terminal is just making sure that we have essentially enough scale there to make the concessions supported so that we can make sure that we have a good experience for our clients. But that's absolutely one of the places that we're looking to be able to add services.
Rep. Wool.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kopp mentioned getting off a plane from Korea, and years ago I used to fly from New York City to Seoul, and it would do a stopover in Anchorage, in which I was able to get off and stay for a while and then get back on and continue on and do that both ways. They don't do that anymore, and I don't know if that – is that an airport decision? Is that an airline decision? And, again, if I want to go to Asia now, I have to go to Seattle. Is that an airport decision or an airline decision?
No, that's an airline decision. So, yes, you go to Seattle, and then you actually fly back over Anchorage to get the
They don't tell us that, but I imagine that's true.
Yes, so no, that's an airline decision. And as far as what you did in the past, there's kind of two things that affected the stop into Anchorage. One was the airplanes became more efficient, so they didn't have to stop here to refuel. And then the Russians essentially opened their airspace. So some of the flights could actually transit through Russian airspace where they couldn't before. So then that way they had a more efficient airplane and they could make a quicker route through Russian airspace to get directly to New York. So then they wouldn't have to stop here.
So in wrap up on your presentation, I think that we're getting close.
Sure. Okay. So the last thing I want to show you is essentially kind of the goal. So we're going to work with the travel and tourism industries, and you'll see it right there. And what I'm talking about, the goal is you'll see all those little airplanes, but you see the blue ones. So those blue ones are essentially arrivals into Honolulu. So what we're looking to do is replicate that in Anchorage. We want to have the morning arrival bank from Asia to be just like that for people coming here to experience from Asia. So obviously, you go to Hawaii and you go to this, they got a beautiful beach. And then you go down the street and there's another beautiful beach that looked just like the other beach. And so we know that the Asians love going to do the ecotourism. We want to get that same kind of traffic pattern to go through Anchorage. Okay. So any questions?
Any further questions before we have lunch? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just more of a closing comment. I noticed that when I asked the acting director about what I think is probably the largest facility, the railroad facility in the middle of the Anchorage International Airport, we didn't get much information back on what the lease was worth or what that building's doing or how it's not. And I was disappointed in that, and in a facility that's probably one takes up more space than any other facility in the airport, and wanted to try and find out more information on that. Every time I go through that airport, I look and see lots of thousands of square feet that's heated and maintained with no use. And every year I ask DOT and Ted Stevens International folks about what we're going to do with this, and we still get no answers. And we're here with the executive director, the new executive director, acting director, and ask him again, and he said, well, we'll get back to you on that. I'm disappointed in that, Mr. Chair, and I hope that this committee looks into that further.
Okay. If you can get back to the chairman on that.
Sure, and I just would add, though, that part of the RFP proposal for the airport hotel is actually that the railroad's lobby essentially would be utilized as the lobby for the hotel, kind of, because of the fact that there's a very small space where we're going to be able to stick that in there. So it will become some kind of a dual use. And then I know that the railroad facility is kind of highly prized by the cruise ship passengers essentially during the summertime. So the railroad, we send a lot of people that actually come off airplanes, get on the train, and essentially go do part of their shore excursion.
Any other final questions before we have lunch? Yes.
There was a communications part of your master plan that disappeared a couple of years ago. What's the status of getting that communications component back in your master plan?
Okay, so that was actually released on Friday for public comment, and then we were distributed essentially to the community council people in and around the airport. So that is currently open right now for public comment. So you're welcome to take a look at it, and you can comment, and we'll be using it.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming in today. And we want to have a little bit of time for lunch. I know the finance chairman is, this is her precious time where she gets something to eat. So I understand her schedule, so we're going to give her a few minutes. With that, thank you for the presentation today and the House for joining us. We are adjourned.